You are listening to the Rob Scott Podcast, your source for Rob's take on current events. Let's begin the show.
The worst thing that we've done to students in the current generation is that we've told them that you should hate your enemies and that you need to fight instead of love, and that the right way to make the world better is by being more pugilistic, to be an activist instead of a volunteer. You want to make something better, you got to scream and yell and hate the right people and carry a sign and cancel. And that's nonsense for happiness, but it's also nonsense for progress. You need to love more, love more, love more, love more. That's what it comes to. You want a better world? Love more. A man saves the world who saves a single man. A person is the whole world. Each one of us is the whole world. It's interesting because we don't see people. We don't look at people. There's so many people that we overlook constantly. We're in California right now, which is, you know, the best place and the worst place in a lot of ways, because it's become so utterly unlivable because we've stopped seeing our brothers and sisters as people, but rather as kind of wards of the state and basic outcasts. The way that we've neglected entirely marginalized populations at the government level. I mean, you see the evidence of failure when you go into San Francisco. It's like Blade Runner. You can't believe it, but that's really a lack of love is what it comes down to.
Hey, welcome to the show. I really do appreciate you coming on and taking a few minutes and spending some time with me. This is episode 133. Can you believe it? I know I got a long ways to go before people actually start listening to me, but hopefully you find something within all of these episodes that I do that you want to share with your friends. And if you do, please do. It's Rob Scott Podcast, of course, and you can find it on any of the apps that you like to listen to, Spotify, Apple, or whatever. Or you can go to my website and pick them up there and download them there. If you like it, please give me 5 stars and share it, follow, do all that stuff, and recommend it to your friends. This week, as many of you know, I do this podcast kind of like part time, and my full time job is I deliver for FedEx Ground, and this last week I'm so happy that the weather's broke. It's been in the 50s, you know, the high 40s, high in the mid 50s, sunny. We've had a few snowy days in the canyon, but it hasn't really affected, you know, the travel time and stuff like that, which is really nice. And but when we get the price, it's been really quite good. And I've also been training this new guy for a couple days, and it's been nice having somebody to go along, you know, to have some conversations with as well, but also to help, you know, get the boxes and the deliveries done quicker. So it's been really nice that way. But I share a little message to my kids who are like all over the country, man. I got back in the East Coast of Virginia. I've got my oldest daughter's in Oklahoma. My son is out in California, who's getting ready to move and got a new assignment with the Navy. He'll be leaving in first part of April, and he's headed back to Great Lakes area. Sorry, I'm yawning a little bit. Heading back to Great Lakes for a few weeks, and then he'll be in Florida. And then I've got a daughter and a family that's here in Eagle Mountain. So it's they're all over the place. So the best way that I can keep in contact with them is I drop them a little weekly email, not an email, but a text, just to let them know how things are going and just thoughts and feelings of the week. I hope they enjoy it. I know that they listen to it because I see their remarks and stuff afterwards, but it's really kind of a way to stay close to them when they're so far away. You know, it's really important to me from a family standpoint, since we are all spread all over the place, and all of them are just like I was. I never lived close to my home since I was like 19, you know, when I went on my mission, and I served in California, and then I came back and I worked that summer. Then I moved out to Idaho, and then I moved to Utah, went to BYU, worked in Salt Lake City and Provo for a while, and then moved to Pennsylvania, and then to New Jersey, where I stayed most of my time and raised my kids for most of their lives there. And then what they have chosen is the same kind of path that their dad chose when he was their age, to live away from home, and most of them have. So, and most of you know my history, and I'm not going to bore you with that, but I moved here to Ohio, I moved here to Utah to be close to them, because almost three out of the four lived here in the area, in Provo and Salt Lake area, and I was able to see them. And then as they graduated and they moved on, then they now they're living, you know, across the country and things like that, just like their old man did with their family. And so it's a good way to stay in touch. But I've really been interested in closeness and making sure our family is staying connected, that the siblings stay together, that they contact and talk with each other. I think it's really important. You know, we live in this world, as the video or the audio that you listened to at the beginning of the podcast, I tried to find who the guy was. I think he's some kind of TikTok influencer or whatever. I'm not sure who he is. It was put up there by some other Instagram person. I guess they liked it, but I really agree with what he said at the beginning of my podcast, is that we, as a society, we're raising our children to be divisionists, and to telling them that the way that they express themselves and express their feelings is to argue and fight and have this rage, and that's how you get things done. And it's not the way that you get things done. And I think really we're doing our children and raising our children, giving them a disadvantage, because we're not teaching them that the way that you really motivate people, and the really way that you change hearts and you change minds and you change societies is love, is sitting down and talking with people. And unfortunately, we have a society today, and we have a government today, and we have and I hate to say this, but we have an administration that, and a party that is thriving on division and hate, and always looking at how what one side is better than the other, and always pitting one against the other. And it's just not going to end well. It's not the same message that you get on a conservative or a religious religious format. It's just not. And as we get farther and farther away from, you know, a religious background and principles and standards that we should be living by, you know, you can argue with me all you want, but the data's in, the statistics are in, and you can argue all you want, but families and moms and dads and families that are raised with a religious background and with principles and standards are much more happier people. Married people are much happier people. And those you can't argue those things. If you want to argue with them, you can, but I'll show you stats that will blow your mind, that it's just not true. And pitting each other, pitting one a group of people, a skin color or an ethnicity or a religion against another religion, is just not the way to bring about really good, sustainable change in life. It's just not. And that's where we are today. And if you don't believe me, just get on the news, get on TikTok, get on Instagram, get on Facebook, watch any news program you want, CNN, any of them. I don't care, Fox News, I don't care who you listen to. Just listen and watch, and it'll unfold right before your eyes, the hate and division our leaders today. And that's really makes me just... It really burns me up that's the route that a lot of these politicians take, and they think that that's going to work, and it's not. And I think that you're seeing this more on one side than the other. And it happens on both sides. I'm not trying to pit one against the other, which is again division, but you're going to notice that it is one side more so than the other side, and it is more the leftist, far leftist, propagandist type of things, more so than the conservative side, and a religious side that is doing this. And it's not good for our society. It's just not good. And we're raising a whole generation like this. You know, with the Israeli and Hamas war, we've seen a lot of this come to light. You know, with abortion, with COVID, we have seen this same kind of message that is being sent out by our leaders, that if you don't believe the way that we believe, then you are wrong and then you are a bad person. And we continue to hear that. Instead of touting accomplishments that politicians have and should be running on, they don't do that. They continually attack the other person. And it's just not a way to endear in the hearts of your number one, your voters. And I think that you're seeing that in today's, you're seeing that, you know, real time in our political movement today. And, you know, I'm not too thrilled about either. I'm not thrilled about Biden at all. Anybody listen to my podcast knows that I don't like this guy at all. I think he's terrible for the country. And I think his policies are completely opposite of where we need to be. But I'm not too thrilled about the Republican nominee as well. And things need to change. And if I had to, you know, it comes down to the greater of two evils, you know, that, and I hate being in that position where I have to vote for the greater of two evils. But if I have to, and that's what the choices I have, and that's what it looks like it's going to be. I mean, I can always put in somebody's name, or I can always vote, you know, somebody who else is on the ballot, of course. But, if I have to choose between, the two, I'm going to vote for the person that they're both, you know, imperfect. I'm not voting for somebody because they're a perfect person or because they're super, super duper Christian or something like that. I just want the person that's going to try to bring values and some kind of belief in this country again. And the current administration, the way I look at it, and the way I see it, and the way I hear, they just don't like this country, and they're trying to change it. And I don't think it needs to change in the way that they are making changes to it. I think the change needs to be, we need to stop dividing each other, and we need to stop looking at, you know, the color of a person's skin or the sex of somebody, or, you know, whether you're male or female, and things like that. And this is the direction that we're at. And I believe that this this guy at the beginning of my show states that, and I really believe it. And I was doing some other research, you know, during this week, just trying to come up with something to talk about on this subject. And I ran across the Daily Wire. Let me see if I can find it real quick. A Daily Wire piece that kind of confirmed this. And it's not like I'm particularly kind of like, oh, I'm going to look out, you know, I'm going to look for everything that's, you know, pro-Republican or pro-conservative and anti-democratic or anti-Biden or something. I don't do that. I look at a topic and I say, okay, let me see what I can find on these subjects. And this came across on the Daily Wire that I thought was interesting. I like to use examples from people and quote them because it's more gives you like Dan Bongino would say, it gives you I follow up with receipts, you know. I'm not saying that these people are saying it, so it's more trustworthy as far as the subject that I'm talking about. And this article, I thought it was like really good. It's a comment from Senator Chris Murphy. He's a Democrat from Connecticut. And let me just read you a little bit. I thought this was interesting. He admitted in the recent social media post that the Democratic Party could not rely on policies and programs alone if they wanted to win elections, and then suggested that promoting class warfare would help their cause. Now, this just that first paragraph would kind of lead you to believe it, what the gentleman at the beginning of my podcast was talking about. We're raising a group of people, and then we have leaders who are promoting a similar type of hate and arguing and fighting and protesting to win political battles. Murphy made the comments in a Tuesday post on X, citing a recent study that showed most Democrats were not tailoring their campaigns to make them about disparities in wealth. And he said a new study showing that 4 out of 5 Democratic candidates don't talk about billionaire and corporate power. The study highlighted the fact that Democrats have been losing support among the working class since 2012. That is exactly true if you look at the data. And Murphy outright suggested that class warfare was the best way to get working class voters back into the Democratic Party or into the fold. He says Democrats cannot win if we just talk about programs. We need to tell a story about how the concentration and wealth and power is ruining America. And that's his quote on X. And then they talk about the critics of Murphy admitting the Democrats' policies and programs were not winning over American voters. And that's what the American voter, to me, the American voter is interested in what is affecting their lives. And that is the programs, that is the policies that are taking place. And that is what is affecting. We keep hearing about, you know, how well the programs, how well the economy is doing. Of course, we have good GDP, we have good unemployment numbers and things like that. And why is it that we continue, why the American people don't feel that way? And it's because of the policies. They can't talk about the policies because their policies have failed over the 3 years that they have been in power. They've had the White House and they have failed miserably, and they can't talk about them. And this is why they are talking about this class warfare. They have to get back to talking about these things because their programs aren't going to sell well to the American people. Because they don't have anything. And if you're really paying attention to what's happening with this election cycle, like him or not, okay, Trump is pretty much doing the same thing that Biden did in the 20 election. He's kind of like staying in the basement. He's kind of quiet. He just pops up every once in a while. You see a few clips and audio clips and videos of rallies and stuff that he has, but mostly he's been talking about what he achieved when he was president of the United States. And if I have to choose between the two, I'm gonna choose a president who didn't get us involved in any wars or anything close to a war, where the economy was roaring. Interest rates were low, gas prices were low. I didn't have any fear for 4 years of getting involved with any wars like we are today. I mean, my God, ever since Afghanistan, we've been talking about wars and nuclear war and things like that, and whether we're going to put boots on the ground in Ukraine or over in Israel, over in Hamas, and it's constant. You know, we hear about the military not reaching its goals, and that's across the board in the Army, Marines, Navy, and all, and Air Force across the board. And I think what's happening is that people just are not seeing what the President of the United States is doing and what the Armed Forces is doing, and it's just not appetizing or appealing to people to want to sign up for the military and to serve their country like they used to. Like, my son is in the Navy, and he went there with a purpose. He went there with a couple of ideas and purposes, but he's always been a patriotic young man. And, you know, not only he went there kind of like trying to figure out what he wanted to do in life, and that was a really good choice for him, and I'm proud of him for making that choice. But I'm proud of him. I mean, he's got through his first 5 years, and now he's signed up again for another, I think, 5 years, or maybe it might be even 7. But he's re-enlisted again, which I didn't anticipate him doing, but he wants to serve his country. But you're just not finding people to do that because they don't feel either the recipient isn't feeling that way or the family isn't feeling this way. They don't want to be involved. They don't want their children put in harm's way because of what's going on with our administration, what's going on around the world. We are not the powerhouse that we used to be in the world today. And that is always dangerous for us as Americans, and it's also dangerous for the world. When the United States of America is weak, and we have weak leadership, okay? Like it or not, the United States of America is the leader in this world. It's a democracy. It is a republic that is like no other. And if this country fails, the world will fail. And it will go into chaos, just plain and simple. And we are getting involved with things that we should not be getting involved with. And it's because we are pitting ourselves against different nations. If you look at Israel right now, on whatever side you want to be on, Palestinian side or the Israeli side, you know, it is not good policy to be at war with your allies. And if you've listened to a couple of the statements from Joe Biden himself and this administration and the Senate, Chuck Schumer, how they're basically threatening the with Israel and the new elections, and they are opposing Benjamin Netanyahu and actually don't want him as the prime minister of Israel anymore. And they are, you know, if you listen to Schumer over the weekend, he was outright just saying that we don't want you here, so the people of Israel should have new elections. And they just had elections. And so they're pushing for that. And then they're also saying that, well, if the Israeli people unite behind Bibi, okay, then they will use the power of the United States government to basically fight against Benjamin Netanyahu. It was like, really, it's just like, let's just threaten our number one ally in Europe. And it's, to me, I don't understand it. I don't understand it. And why this is the case. And what has happened when Israeli is just defending himself against Hamas, against probably the most prolific terrorist attack since the Holocaust, 1,200 people were killed, unprovoked by these people. And what you have is you have a government that's moving, you have an administration that's moving more and more and more to the left and having this kind of like this anti-Semite kind of idea and philosophy that they're following. And it's not going to produce the results that they are looking for. Whenever, you know, I wish our government would just stay out of our business and stay out of, and just learn to try to just stay within the realm of where they're supposed to stay that make the United States run better. But that's not where we are. We are at a place where we are constantly at each other's throats. If you listen to the State of the Union, Biden, I mean, all he did the whole time was just like yell at you and scream at you. And, you know, here you are an American citizen and you're trying to listen to this man. And all he's doing is just, he's giving you a political speech. Number one, he's giving you a campaign speech. And none of the topics that he addressed were tops on the America citizens' agenda as far as what they want to see done. It was all about what he wants to do and what his administration thinks is right. And I think that people get turned off on that stuff because they are slowly but surely turning the tide on this hate-filled political movement that is taking place. It worked for a while, but I think it's starting to turn. The biggest thing I the biggest thing that I thought was the most disgusting part of the State of the Union was his attack on the Supreme Court. And the justices were all kind of like sitting there, and they're kind of like in a position where they cannot really defend themselves. They can't speak out because they're supposed to be nonpartisan, so they don't. But you got this president who's basically threatening them, just like Schumer threatened Kavanaugh, months ago, years ago, actually, when Roe versus Wade went through. And this divisionist and this hate that this administration seems to want to garner all the time, and this is their political movement. They think that that's going to be something that's going to attract American voters. I don't think so. And I think you see it in the polls. I really do. I think you're seeing it more and more in polls. This is why Biden's numbers are low in Democrat circles. They're extremely low on the Republican side and conservative side. And that's why you're seeing these polls that are showing Trump winning the election in November by margins of 3 to 4%, and it's not changing much. And Biden's approval rate is not approving much because people don't like people. I don't have a degree in law. I'm not an accountant. I'm not a statistician. You know, I don't have these degrees. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a medical doctor. But I approach things. I think I have really good common sense. And what I do is I try to listen to people on both sides. I really do. Not only do I listen to podcasts, you know, of some of my favorite people, but I also listen to the news. I listen to CNN and I listen to, and there's just a stark difference between the information that is given on one side versus the other. And the left seems to always work off of fear, and they're always working off of feelings, where I feel, they don't give me statistical data that supports what they're talking about. And if you look over the last, say, 3 years, almost 4 years now, 3.5 years of Biden administration and Trump administration, and say the last 4 years of Obama's administration and Hillary Clinton, you see how the lies that have been portrayed over, what is that? That's 12 years. How the lies that were originally, propagated out there have been proven wrong. And I just believe people are just getting tired of it. I think people are just getting tired of being lied to. And yet we continue to be lied to about what's going on over in Ukraine, what's going on over in Israel. We're getting lied to about what's going on in our own country. And I think people are just getting fed up with it. And that's where you're seeing these numbers. And it goes back to what we are teaching our next generations. We're not teaching them good principles. We're not teaching, like my father always said, and I've mentioned this before, he felt that his job and my mom's job was to teach us correct principles and then let us govern ourselves based on what those principles, right? The standards. What's true and what's false. Today, we don't seem to care about truth. We just don't care. We're more concerned with somebody's feelings, or we're not even really concerned with it anymore. You know, we don't like the word of something. We either change the word or we change the definite. They tried to change the definition of the word that it doesn't mean what it used to mean, or we just change the word that we use. Illegal aliens to undocumented aliens or undocumented workers or whatever they want to call it. They think that just changing the name or changing the word changes the individual, changes the circumstances, and it doesn't. It really doesn't. It's the same, you know, and most people don't think that way. Most people don't think that way. I mean, you've got a president who is, you know, during the State of the Union, couldn't basically use the illegal aliens when he was discussing Lake and Riley, Lake and Riley's murder. He was an illegal alien that killed this young woman, 22-year-old. And, you know, he used illegal aliens when he was describing him, but then he has to backtrack and he has to apologize to this man for using the wrong terminology, because that's not what the Democrats use. And in an interview, you know, the reporter asked him, "Do you regret using the word illegal?" And he says, "Yes, well, I should have used undocumented." But the thing is that he is an undocumented alien into our country. He's also here illegally, because we have laws, and we have laws, to my knowledge, of immigration that he is here against. So that means if he's not following the law, then that is he's here illegally. That's what it is. So they can call it whatever they want, and they play this, and this game is continually played, where they change the name of something, they change the word of something, and then they stick with that word, and nobody else in the universe is using those words. And they continually perpetuate the same word until you believe it, I guess. But we're not. You know, that's what the whole transgender movement is about. This healthcare is all about this. You know, abortion and healthcare has all been kind of like twisted into the same thing now. Transgender, you know, healthcare has been thrown into, you know, healthcare in general. And they confuse everything, and they just blur everything. And if you don't believe me, just listen to them. It's just every terminology that they use is always blurred. There's no meaning to what they say anymore. I mean, we live in a world where we don't know what a man and woman is. We don't know what racism is, because it's changed. The definition of changed. We don't know the definitions of these things anymore. They've changed. I know what they are, you know. And they're not going to change because some douchebag in D.C. wants to change the name of something. It's just amazing to me. Anyway, Murphy goes on in this article. And he just, again, he says, "Democrats cannot win if we just talk about programs." He continued, "We need to tell a story about how the concentration, wealth, and power is ruining America." I think I already read that. Hold on. It's Marxism 101. It's like a freshman class in Marxism when you go to these universities. Now, we create an oppressor class, which you've heard over and over again. Create an oppressed class and pit them against each other. And they've been doing this a very good job for this for a long time. But Murphy, in his discussion, wants to do even more. He wants to continue to pit ourselves. The question I ask is, do you want leaders who are following this path? Do you constantly want to be pitted against your neighbor? Do you want to resent the other person because of the color of their skin, or because they're Democrat or Republican? Or because they support Israel, they support Palestine. Do you want that? Do you want that resentment? Because that is the goal of right now. That's the goal of the Democratic Party, because they know they cannot win an election talking about their policies and their programs, because they can't, because they are failing. The numbers say that. The statistics say that. The polls are saying that. And they know that they can't win. And you have a Democrat who is speaking the quiet things out loud, that we cannot win unless, and that tells you that the only important thing is that they win. It's not about the policies. It's not about what is right and good for America. It is, I want to keep my position. I want to keep the power where the power is, so I can continue to, you know, manipulate the situation and the environment and our society the way that I want to manipulate the society. Hey, listen, this is a clear, this is a very important election this year. And if we continue to go down this path of divisionism and hate for our fellow man and our fellow citizen, hate of our country, hate of our democracy, our republic, our constitution, the hate of our Supreme Court, we are not in a good place. And we need to change that. And I'm not saying that either one of these candidates, especially on the left side, if you vote that way, then you just want things to remain the same. And you're going to see a degradation of our country like you've never seen it before. I believe in looking at what they have done in the past, okay, and their policies and their programs and what they have done and what they've produced. And this country was run more efficiently than it is being run today or for the last 3 years when it was under when we had a Republican in the White House. It's just, that's the facts that you can't, you can argue all you want. I don't care. You can't argue the fact. You can debate it. You can do it, but the facts are just there that we were a much better country. We are better off as citizens. We are safer. We were a strong country. We were self-reliant energy wise, and we aren't today. And militarily, we were strong. People feared us. And today we don't have that. We have the direct opposite of what we used to have when Donald Trump was running for president, when he was president of the United States. So you got to make a decision. Remember the two. You had to get past the last year of Trump's presidency with COVID and things like that. You have to get past that. And say, where were we for that 3.5 years, or that 3 years? What did he accomplish amidst a lot of personal attacks on him, like we've never seen before, and then the personal attacks that are being made on this guy, and personal attacks that are being made on the average citizen of this country. It's a very clear decision for me this year. There's not a whole lot of wavering or moving that I'm going to make, because I want things to be better in this country. I want principles being taught. I want standards being taught in our schools. I want standards and principles being taught in families. I want the divorce rate to decrease, not increase year to year. I want people to start looking at their families and relationships in a positive way instead of a negative way. And the way that we do that is we draw ourselves, like the gentleman at the beginning of my podcast where he talks about, we need to talk about how can we love one another, how can we serve one another, not fighting them and looking at their differences as something that's evil and bad. Hey, we got a big decision to make coming up this year. Start looking to get away from all the frivolous, the little outline, surfacey type of stuff that's out there with the candidate, and start looking at what is really taking place, and make a decision based on good facts and good data and good polling. So, hey, thanks for listening. Appreciate it. I hope you all have a good week. Be safe out there. We live in a very dangerous world today. Love your families. Stay in touch with your kids. If you have children, stay in love with them. Let them know that you love them. Teach them good principles. Get to church. Go to church. Learn the principles of love and appreciation and service that you get there. It's not the only place you can get it, of course, but that is one of the main places that you can get that philosophy and that idea of service and love and appreciation for one another. And I think if you do that, your soul is going to be happier. You'll be happier as a person. Your soul is going to be much more at peace with. And I think if you do that as well, we won't see all these different social issues and medical issues and psychological issues that are taking place today. If we are teaching a good principles of love and service and communications with one another and our families. Enough said, enough harping there. So, hey, have a good week, and I will be back next week.